Okay, so we have one sermon left in the series, Make Room. It's our Christmas series. We've got one sermon left. We're going to close it out today. And I know what some of you are saying. You're looking at your spouse or your friend, and you go, bless his heart. Bless his heart. He ain't talked about baby Jesus one time in this whole sermon series. The boy doesn't know where it's at. He doesn't know this is not a Christmas series at all. Steady. Fear not. There's been a method to the madness. If you missed a couple of the messages, you can go back and check them out on YouTube or the app or the website or Facebook. But today we're going to talk a little bit about baby Jesus. Amen? Come on, somebody. We got some excitement in the building for baby Jesus, okay? And so if you want to turn to Luke chapter 2 with me, Luke chapter 2, we're going to talk about baby Jesus because it's a Christmas message. But how about we do it a little bit differently? Y'all okay with that? Maybe we do a Christmas message that's a little bit different than maybe what you're used to. We'll see how it goes. I believe the Lord's going to move. And so Luke chapter 2 starts in verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. No guest room available for them. So if this is the first time you've heard Luke chapter 2, you're probably perplexed a little bit. And if you've heard Luke chapter 2 many times, you may still be perplexed a little bit because you go, wait a minute. You're trying to tell me that there's an all-powerful God of the whole universe. He's created everything from detail to detail. He's sending his son, and you're going to try to tell me he sends him to the town of Bethlehem, which is like having, the Son of God born over in like Sutches, okay? A bold strategy. He's not even in Rome or anywhere like that. God, you didn't reserve any rooms at like the Ritz-Carlton for him. You didn't get any of the doctors from like Emory or Vanderbilt or somebody to come up to deliver the Son of God. You've got him in Bethlehem, and he's born, and they place him in a manger, which most of you may know, some of you may not, is where animals eat out of. And so you go, you're telling me that God has his son born in this scenario. It doesn't take your most Sherlock Holmes moment to figure out, it seems to me that God is missing some details here. He's dropped the ball. Somehow his assistant or somebody didn't schedule things properly, and the Son of God, Jesus, is born in a small town and placed in a manger because there's no guest room available for him. That's perplexing. Have you ever felt like God's missing details in your life? Have you ever felt like God's dropping the ball on some of the details in your life? I've felt that way many times in life. I look around at my life and go, God, you clearly are not paying enough attention because things are falling through the cracks. Things are not going how they should be going. You got baby Jesus born in Bethlehem and placed in a manger because there's no guest room available. Did you not know he was coming? Could we not schedule this ahead of time? But what if God's actually so detail-oriented that we miss the details he's working on? What if it's the complete inverse of what it appears to tell us in the scriptures? What if God is actually not aloof, missing the details? What if he's so detail-oriented, he flies right past our best Sherlock Holmes impression? He's working on things we don't see. And you go, how is that possible? How can there be no guest room available? How can baby Jesus have to be placed where they're eating out of for animals? Let's look at it in a different way. What if I submit to you that this moment where Jesus was born was deeply poetic? It was extremely symbolic. Because what have we been doing as a human race, almost from the get-go? We've been trying to tell God, we don't have room for you. We don't have room for you. So how is it not actually deeply poetic, extremely symbolic, that when God sends his only son, humanity says, we have no room for you? Maybe you're different than me. There was years of my life I spent actually walking on this campus where I was trying to fight God. I was trying to put up walls. I was trying to put up barriers. I didn't want to give my life fully to God. I didn't want to give him room. But you see, the flip side of this is the beauty of this moment also, where humanity is communicating once again to God, we don't have room for you. And what is God's response? Then I'll send Jesus and make room. The collision course, the birth of Jesus was so powerful. Why? Because it was the collision course of humanity looking at God and trying to tell him, we have no room for you, God. And God looking back at humanity saying, I will send Jesus then and make room. You see, you and I have a tendency to try to go, God doesn't want us. He's not detail-oriented. There's things that happen in my life that are deeply tragic and troubling, and they're difficult, and I don't think God really cares. But the hurdle with that is that one of the moments that's a problem for that is when the Lord sends Jesus, and he's born on this earth, and he looks to a race of humans who for thousands of years have been telling him, we don't want you. And he still sent Jesus. He still sent Jesus. Even when Jesus would live out his whole life and people the whole time would tell him, we don't want you. We don't want you. And they didn't want him enough that they end up killing him. And then you go, so wait a minute. We tell God that we don't want him, that we don't want to make room. Jesus lives his whole life and most of us don't like him. The people finally turn on him. They finally kill him. You go, God, why are you bothering at this point? Do you not get the message? Why do you send Jesus? Why did Jesus come? And one of the main reasons was to make room for people that didn't even know to ask. If you've heard my testimony before, you know that I was living my life for myself for years. I was trying my best to not make room for God. And there was finally a night my freshman year in college where I was sitting in Bible study and Corey Wasson and Reagan Daniels were leading the Bible study. I don't remember what they talked about. I just remember Holy Spirit telling me the way you're living your life is not okay. And that was my moment where I finally decided to stop holding up walls against God and let him fall and make room for the Lord to change my life. I fully believe there's people online and in the building today that you're trying your best and you know the Lord's been speaking to you and you're trying your best to keep the walls up and to keep God out. And I fully believe Holy Spirit's going to move today and people are going to let walls down. And we're going to make room for the Lord. But why did Jesus come? If maybe he's clueless, he doesn't get the message that maybe we as humans don't really want him. But let's look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with them. This is a revealing moment that the Jewish ruling council, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, Nicodemus is one of them. And he comes to Jesus at night. Why? Because he doesn't want to be seen with Jesus, because that will mess up his social status. That will mess up his social standing, his social life. He's got it good. And the issue is if you follow Jesus, it comes with a cost. And Nicodemus knows that. And so he comes to Jesus at night and he says, Jesus, we know you're from God. Which reveals the Jewish leaders, the people from the get-go, knew who Jesus was. This is early in Jesus' ministry. They go, we know you're from God. We know you're a teacher. And I've come to you at night because I'm not quite sure that I'm ready to make room for you, Jesus. Because if I make room for you, Jesus, it's going to cost me. I'm living the high life. I'm on top of everything right now. But Jesus, if I let you in, it's going to cost me. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. How can someone be born again when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And if you've missed it, Jesus just revealed one of the key reasons why he came. You see, the Lord came to make room for this great reason, for each and every one of us to have a chance to go from death to life spiritually. Each and every one of us were dead in our sin, but God moved. He made room for each of us to be born of the Spirit. And he looks at us to make room. And it's curious because later on in John chapter 3, you may have heard of John chapter 3 because of verse 16. It's maybe one of the most well-known Bible verses in the entire world. Many of you probably can quote it just because you've heard it enough. John 3:16. Some of you may be saying it under your breath right now. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." If you want to know why Jesus came, look at John chapter 3, verse 16, right? If John chapter 3, verse 16 is one of the most well-known verses, I would say John chapter 3, verse 17 is tragically not known. It gets left off in the context so many times. Look at verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." You see, there's someone online or in the building who you're trying to keep up the walls between you and God. You're trying to tell him, "I'm not worth it. I've messed up too much. God, I don't want you. You don't understand the mistakes I've made. You're doing it because it's the same thing I used to do for years." But John 3:17 says, Jesus didn't come to condemn you. Jesus didn't come to condemn me, even though I absolutely deserved it. I deserve to be condemned. And the harsh reality is, so do you. Your sin and my sin deserve condemnation. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And the enemy always wants to come in and twist that and make you try to stay away from God because he wants you to think Jesus doesn't want you. But let me tell you, the moment Jesus was born and placed in a manger and there's no guest room for available, and humanity trying to tell him, "We don't have room for you," was a John 3:17 moment where he says, "I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. And it doesn't matter if you're not going to make room for me, because I am the Lord and I make room where I want there to be room." Look at verse 18. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Underline or highlight verse 19. This is the verdict. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. If you've ever wondered why humanity tries to keep telling God, "We don't have room, we don't want you, get away from us," it's because humanity loves darkness. The harsh reality, the things we don't like to talk about, is humanity loves our sin. And the issue with it is we can try to hide it in darkness, but when Jesus shows up, he brought light to the darkness. He exposes things that we've tried to hide. But then once he exposes our sin, and right now I believe the Lord's speaking to people online or in the building, and he's exposing things in your heart that you're saying, "It's not right, it's not sin, it's sin, I shouldn't be doing it," and you're trying to keep God away, but he's exposing it. But what you're finding out is he's not come to condemn, he's come to convict. And there's a difference. Condemnation makes you stay away. It's shame. It makes you isolate. But conviction is this: the Lord coming as a loving heavenly Father and saying, "Let down the walls and come follow me away from what you're doing. Come have a relationship with me. I've come to bring light to the darkness. I've come so that you can go from death to life spiritually." And Jesus showed up in my life when it was full of darkness. And he asked a simple question. Do you want to stay in the darkness? Do you want to stay in the darkness? And I believe there's people online and in the building who you're tired of living in darkness. It's exhausting. It's wearing on your very soul. And today's a day where you have heard Jesus came to be light to the darkness. And not only that, he didn't come to condemn you. He came that you may have an opportunity to go from death to life spiritually. And I believe Holy Spirit right now is speaking into your heart. And you know it. You know it inside of you. And I want to tell you right now, your time is now. Today is your day where the walls come down and your life will never be the same. And so we're going to have a moment. We're going to have time together for three different reasons. One, I believe there's people online in the building where today's your day and you give your life to Jesus Christ. The walls come down and you say, Jesus, I want you to come change my life. I want to go from death to life spiritually. I want what you are offering because the way I'm living my life, it's not working. You had that same moment I had my freshman year of college when I was tired of running. There's a second group of people who you are a Christian, but God, he's speaking into your life. Holy Spirit speaking into your life, and he's revealing you've tried to close off areas of your life. You've had areas of your life where you're not making room for him anymore, and it's time to repent. It's time to repent. It's time to confess your sin and say, God, I want to make room for you in my finances or my relationships, God, or I want to make room for you in these decisions I'm doing, the way I'm living my life, because I've tried to keep you out in this area, and it's time I let the walls down, and I make room for you in my whole life, Jesus. And there's a third thing we've got to do. We've got to decide who we're going to be as a church. Who we're going to be as a church. We're closing out this year and we're heading into this next year. We've had a hard year as a church. But the reason we're still here is because the Lord's faithful. He still has a purpose and plan. And one of those is still to use Vertical Church to make room for other people. If you think about the tone that Jesus set for us, was he came into the world, a world that was crying out that we have no room for you, God, and he still showed up to make room. Is that not the clearest example for how we should live our life as a church, the bride of Christ? That we should exist every day to make room for other people, whether they want it or not. That we should exist as a church where maybe you can walk in our doors and you don't have it all together. You don't have every answer. You don't even have your life together. You even maybe would say, I do love darkness. You come meet with us at Vertical Church. Not because myself or anyone else here can change your life, but because we believe every time we open the doors, every time the camera turns on and we meet, we believe Jesus can move and he can change your life. And so we have to decide as a group of people, can we commit to make room for other people, even if they don't act the way we want them to, even if they don't believe what we believe just yet, even if maybe they don't vote the way that we vote? Can we be a church that makes room? Because that was the tone and culture Jesus set for us. When the world was in darkness, and then a night where there was no room in the small town of Bethlehem, light came bursting forth. And not only did light come bursting forth, there was a difference in that moment. From all eternity forward, it said, darkness will not win, darkness has not won, and darkness will never win. And so will we exist as a church that makes room because we believe light can enter any person's life, expose what's going on, and Jesus can call them forward in conviction and change their life forever. And so here's the thing. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you come up and pray with me. I want to be up front. There's a second group of people. Maybe you need to come forward and pray because you need to make room in some areas of your life. You're a Christian, but you've been running the show in some areas of your life, and you know you're convicted right now. Holy Spirit speaking to you, and that's not the way to live. And then Holy Spirit speaking to some of you, and he's calling you to lay down your life and to make room for other people. To make room for other people, even if they don't act or look or talk or anything like you, but you're going to live your life in a way that says, Jesus, I believe you can change their life. And I'm going to lay down my pride and let you work through me. I'm going to work with other people of this church to create a space where we make room, because every time we get together as a body of believers, if we believe it and we get together and make room, we believe Jesus is going to move and do what only he can do. And honestly, I think we need to add a fourth group. I'm just adding this. It's not even in the notes. I think there's some of us where our hearts are burdened. Our hearts are burdened for people in our life, maybe a family member or a friend or a coworker, and they don't know Jesus. And they don't know Jesus. Let me tell you something. I think many of us know people who the way they're living their life isn't okay. And it hurts. And we can still come forward and pray and believe that light has already come. Light has already entered this world. And light can change any person's life. And so I'm going to be down here praying. I'm going to make a commitment to the Lord that I'm going to live my life in a way to make room for other people. Even if they annoy me, even if they don't agree with me, even if they don't look or talk or think like me, I'm going to make room because I believe Jesus can change their life just like he changed my life. And I'm going to be praying for some people in my life that the way they're living their life isn't okay. And I'm going to be praying that the Lord moves in their life and draws them to him, because I have found out that there is nothing greater than a relationship with Jesus. And so if Holy Spirit speaks into your life, don't come up here flippantly. Don't come up here casually. But if Holy Spirit speaks into your life and you would like to come join me up front, we're going to have a time to pray. Maybe you're giving your life to Jesus. Maybe you're making room for Jesus. Maybe you're committing to the Lord to be part of a church that makes room for other people. Or maybe your heart's burdened for someone that you know that is not a believer, and you want to cry out to the Lord that the Lord will move and change their life. But we're going to have an invitation time to close out our year as a church. Remember, next week we're not meeting in person. This is our last time together in 2020. And I can think of no better way for us to end the year than humbling ourselves before the Lord and asking him to move. So I'm just going to make it simple. If Holy Spirit speaks into you, you come join me up front. We're going to worship together. Let's rock and roll. Lord, move.